Praise God. What a great day this has been in this local church. It's been an awesome day of rejoicing and thanking God for what He has done in each of our lives. By the way, if you're visiting tonight for the first time, could you wave your hand at us up here so we can see you, all our visitors. God bless you. Now, I want to read something to you from the New Testament. That's the part of the Bible that's written to those of us who believe in Jesus Christ. And it's an amazing event that's about to happen in the history of the world. Now, bear with me as I go through this. This is written by the Apostle Paul. He said, "I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep," or that means those who have already died, "that you don't sorrow, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this I say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Now, this is an actual event that is going to take place probably in the not-too-distant future. Now, I don't know what distant means in the terms of God. Could be before the service is over. It could be 100 years from now, but I don't think it's that far away. What the Bible says, those who have believed in Jesus Christ, who have trusted in Him for our salvation, that those who have died before us, there's a moment coming in the future when God will descend with a shout, the Scripture says, and those who have died are going to be raised from the dead, out of the grave. And those of us who are on the earth still alive in Christ are going to be gathered together. It's called the rapture of the church. It's not a new doctrine. It's been around as long as the church has. The church is going to be, the physical church is going to be taken from the earth into the air to be with Christ. After the church is taken, it will usher in a 7-year period of the worst hell that this world has ever known prior to the return of Jesus Christ. Now, there are people here. I've just said these words, and I said them on purpose, because there are people here who are saying, "Pastor, do you really believe this? I had such hope for this evening. I come into this church and it looks so real, but now I'm starting to feel that you are just a bunch of fruitcakes who are gathering in this place and singing gospel songs. You're believing the dead are going to rise one day, and you're believing the living are going to gather up in the air, going to be taken from one place to another. How in the world can you believe that and still be a rational person living in this world that we're living in today?" I want to tell you why I believe it. Now, don't walk out on me yet. Give me a moment, okay? Just give me enough time. Give me 15 minutes. And if I haven't gotten anywhere, then walk out on me. I want you to role play with me. Suppose you, I want to talk to the skeptic tonight. I want to talk to the person in particular who's saying, "Look it, I don't mind church, but this is getting a little bit extreme. You're talking about the dead being raised. You're talking about flying up into the air to be with God. I don't mind singing the songs. I don't mind clapping my hands. I don't even mind people talking about how all of this has changed their life. But now we're getting into something that I consider extreme." Now, I want you to take a trip with me right now. And suppose that you were suddenly transported back 200 years, where you are the guest speaker in a meeting like this. So I'm talking to you. I'm talking to the skeptic. 200 years ago, this is now New York, and we're now in the 1800s. And you were transported back here, and you are the guest speaker, and I'm introducing you. We'd have to speak loud because there's no microphones back then. And so what if I asked you, "How did you get here?" And without thinking, you said, "Well, I flew here." And suddenly there's a snicker goes through the crowd. You flew here? How did you do that? "Well, I got on this huge metal device that's got these things called wings. And there's a few hundred of us on it, and it has things called engines on it, and it goes down a long paved road, and it takes off in the air, and it lands here, and that's how I got here. And you imagine this, the snicker goes through the crowd. You flew here. That's only 200 years ago. People would have thought you were insane to say such a thing. In a metal bird on top of all of this, you flew here. Or how about if you said, well, I drove here. What's that? Well, I got in this metal frame, a conveyance. It's got four round things on the side. It's got this piece of metal in the front that has things in it called pistons. And a spark is ignited and then causes an explosion. When one piston goes down, another one comes up. And it turns a thing called a transmission, which turns in effect a differential at the back, and it causes the wheels to turn. Can you imagine trying to explain to people whose horses are tied outside how you got here? You came in a what? You drove in what? Poor fellow, they would say. That's, of course, the people whose horses are tied outside. Next thing you'll be telling us is that trains run underground and bridges can cross a river a mile wide. But you would protest and say, but I have been underground in a train. And I have crossed bridges a mile long. I remember the first time I heard about subway trains. I was a kid in a mining town in rural Quebec. You know, there was nothing underground except worms in my town. And I remember the first time I heard of a thing called an underground train. And I remember asking my father, how do they keep the mud from coming in the windows of the train? Because it was inconceivable to me that a train ran underground. Because I wasn't raised in New York City, I'd never seen it. And the tendency in every one of our hearts is if we've never experienced something, we're naturally skeptical about it. We laugh at those who say they have, and we say, what an absurd concept, flying to get somewhere, driving in a metal conveyance, or such like thing. I remember a few years ago, I was in Burundi, and we had just taken goats up a mountain to a group of people called the Twa. Now, these people have no laptops, they have no cable, they have no television, they have no periodicals, they have no newspapers, they have no magazines, they have no contact whatsoever with the outside world. And I remember getting up to give a thank you speech to them for allowing us to come into their village. And I had to explain to them. Now, they all live in grass huts. And we had just brought them truckloads of goats and chickens and such like, for which they were extremely thankful. It was outside of their whole concept of how greatly they could be blessed. And trying to explain to them where I came from, I said, I come from a faraway place, and I live on an island. Manhattan's an island, by the way, in case you don't know that. And I said, there are so many people on my island that we build our houses one on top of each other. And I said, to get to our houses, we get in a box, and the box has a rope attached to it with a pulley, and we are pulled in that box up to our house. And I remember the whole village would go, ooh, when I'd say that. And I'd say, and I am the 47th house in my pile of houses. There are 46 houses underneath me. And I get in a box and I go up. Now, everybody was really polite to me. They were kind. But I have a feeling that when I walked away, there must have been some in that village that said, the poor fellow, he seemed like such a nice guy. But he really believes that he gets in a box and goes up. And we all know it's impossible for 47 houses to be piled on top of each other, and to think that he lives on the top. The poor man, he really looked like he had it together until he said that. And that's what some of you are feeling tonight. You really had it together, Pastor, until you read that passage of Scripture that Jesus is going to one day raise the dead and lift those of us who are still alive up into the air to forever be with him. Now, I don't have a problem believing that. Tonight, I want to tell you why I don't have a problem believing it. Number one, because I have already been raised from the dead through Jesus Christ. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. The Bible tells us conclusively there is a power in death. There's a power in sin that results in death. It's death to dreams, death to a vision, death to your future, death to your heart, death to your home, death to your mind, death to everything you ever thought you were going to be. And one day, Jesus comes along and says, open your heart to me, and I will come in and give you life, and I will raise you from the dead. I have no problem believing that he will raise me from the dead because I have been raised from the dead already. I've been given a newness of life. I have no problem believing that I will one day be taken from this earth from one place to another place because I've already in Christ been taken from one place to another place. It's only a continuation of what's already been going on in my life. The Bible says if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things in his life pass away. Behold, all things become new. You saw that in this pulpit tonight. You know, you heard some of these testimonies, and you know these men and this woman could not have changed without the power of God. It is impossible. But in Christ, they have been taken from one place to another place, raised from the dead, and taken to another place. And so it's no stretch to believe this for me. I've already experienced it. It's as real as living. The problem that some people have here tonight is, theologically speaking, your horse is still tied to a hydrant outside this church. You're still living way outside of where God is. You're living in your mind outside of what God can do. You've limited God. You're walking in the realm of all that you've been able to see and touch and taste and feel, only to find out tonight there's another kingdom far beyond anything you've ever experienced before. There's a power here. There's a life here that you've known nothing about because you've not really experienced it. David, the psalmist, says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You have to sit down at the table. Jesus himself said, I knock at the door of your heart, and if you will open that door, I will come in, and I will sit down, and I will unfold as it is before you a banquet of strength and life and direction and hope that up to this point you've not known anything about, because it isn't a natural kingdom. It's a supernatural kingdom, the kingdom of God. Praise be to God. I hope that you don't leave thinking that somehow we've lost our senses. Because actually, in truth, we found them. We lost our senses when we lived in sin. When we lived so far short of what life is supposed to be. When we didn't know the reason we were on the earth. And we failed to understand that God so loved us that he became a man 2,000 years ago. Walked through this earth and went to a cross and paid the price for all the sin, all the wrong that we have done, so that we can be reconnected to the life of God again. We can travel in places that people without God don't know anything about. And they scorn it and they scoff it because they've never tasted it. They've never seen it. They've never understood it. They still live so far outside of what life can be in Jesus Christ. Now, if you're reasonable and rational tonight, you'd say, I have a feeling in my heart that this is right. You know, there's something in us, because we were created in the image of God and for God, there's something in us that bears witness to truth. I was a skeptic. I had to see everything to believe it. And yet there came a point in my life of hearing these kinds of testimonies and beginning to read the Word of God that something in my heart told me this is true. I preached one time after the war in Kosovo in a Muslim village to a lot of ex-soldiers who were standing there. Very hardcore Islam. And I began to speak to them about the love of God and the bridge that God made for men to get to where God desired them to be. And he made that bridge when he became a man, and his name was Jesus Christ. And I told them, I said, he did it because he loves you. And I said these words, you may not understand this, but because you were created by God and in the image of God, there's something inside of you that bears witness that what you are hearing is the truth. And I remember the deputy mayor was so nervous, he shook the whole platform and he kept hitting me the whole time because he was afraid of what might happen at these moments. But as he was hitting me and as he was shaking and as I was talking about the love of God, tears started flowing on these soldiers' faces. They started wiping their faces because God's Holy Spirit will bear witness to what is the truth. I don't have to shake you to the core, and I don't have to prove it to you beyond all reasonable doubt. There is another who bears witness to truth, the Spirit of God. And if you have an open heart, he will touch your heart tonight and tell you that what you're hearing is right. This is what you were created for. This is what you have been looking for all your life. This is where the power of God is to deliver you from death and sin and that which you cannot escape in your own strength. This is where you will learn to be taken from where you are to the place that God created you to be. This is where you begin to live so in the miraculous of God that you won't anymore put limitations on God. You say, Lord, it doesn't matter. I do believe that one day you're going to shout from heaven and raise the dead. I believe you're going to do it in New York City. And I believe that those who trust in you are going to be gathered with them to forever be with the Lord, because if your word says it, I have so experienced the changing power of God that I don't doubt this anymore. If God said it, that's the way it's going to be, because every promise he's ever made to me has fulfilled it. Thanks be to God. What an awesome life this has been. As a Christian, I was saved at 24 years of age. If I had a picture, I don't have any because we lost most of them in the fire. But if I had a picture of what that man used to be, I tell you that man died and another man was raised from the dead in his place. That man's direction was where he was going came to an abrupt end, and another direction was started. And I was lifted by the power of God into a place that normal people can't go in their own strength. I was made into what I could never be. I've been taken where I could never go. I've been given to do what I could never perform. And it's all been done by the presence and the power of God in my life. And so, my friend, you can shortchange yourself tonight if you want and just unhook your horse and go home after the service and miss the whole thing that God is doing in this generation. He's reaching out and calling to New York City. He's calling to you. He's calling to me. He's calling to every man. He's calling to every woman, to every young person, and saying, come to me, all you are labored and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I'll save you. I'll change you. I'll redeem you. You won't need any evidence on the outside. The evidence will be inside. I won't have to prove it to you. You'll know for yourself that he is alive, because you'll experience it for yourself. I wish to God with everything in me that as a teenager, somebody had come to my town and told me these words. I would have listened. When I was walking the streets drunk and angry most weeknights and weekend nights, I wish to God somebody had told me these words and spared me the sorrow of a lot of years living without God. Hallelujah. You don't have to live in fear anymore. You don't have to live under the weight of sin. You don't have to live captivated in your mind and captivated in your body. You can be free from the power of death tonight. You don't have to live with the banner loser over your head and under all the words that everybody ever told you or you told your own heart. There are no limitations to what you can be when Christ is alive inside of you. He can lift you where ordinary men can't go, ordinary women can't go. Won't you just get in? You know, I could have said to those people in Burundi, if you come to New York, I'd like to invite you into my box and come up to my 47th house with me, because it's as real as life, even though they can't see it, even though they couldn't reason it. It is real. It does exist. And you might not be able to see God, and you might not be able to figure everything out about God, but he is alive. He is here tonight. He does exist. He does hold the keys to your future, to your salvation. He has a place that he has prepared for you and for me, and he's coming to take us home to be with him forever. And that day is going to happen. I don't know when. But I pray with all my heart you'll be there. I pray with all my heart you'll make the right choice, that you'll choose to live where God is and you'll embrace the words that God is speaking to your heart tonight. Now you may ask me, say, Pastor, how do I do that? It's really simple. Admit that you can't save yourself. Admit that you're not God. There's another God and it's not you. Admit that he came and died on the cross and took your place. He didn't die just for some historical gesture for some people some other place. He died with your name on his lips because he wanted you back to himself again. The Bible says God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. That means you. He loved you. You can put your name in there. He did it because he loved you. He did it for no other reason but that he loved you and didn't want to lose you. And he went to a cross and he died and he paid the price for all that tries to hold you for eternity. All that tries to keep you separated from God. All that tries to crush and destroy your mind, destroy your life, destroy your future. And one of the final things he said on that cross when he died is, it is finished. That means the devil's right to have you and destroy you and keep you from everything that God has for you was destroyed when Jesus Christ died on that cross. And now he requires of you and me to simply open our heart and say, Lord Jesus Christ, I invite you into my life to be my Lord and my Savior. I give my life to you and I ask you from this day forward to be my God. And I will follow you as best as you teach me and show me. And I trust you for the power to be raised from the dead and to be taken from one place to another. And pretty soon you'll be in a place like this, or maybe it'll be in your home, it might be in your office, it might be in your apartment hallway. But I guarantee you one thing, if you let Jesus come in tonight, you'll be speaking about him to somebody. It's not a program, you won't need a pamphlet. It'll be so real, it's just people will be saying, what happened to you? You don't seem like the person that I know with the loud music and the drugs across the hallway. And all of a sudden you're singing a different song and you got to shine, but it's got nothing to do with anything that you're putting into your body that's from this world. What happened to you? And you will be speaking about Jesus Christ. You won't be able to stop speaking about Jesus Christ because his life will be so real inside of you. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. David said, taste and see, young person. Taste and see, businessman. Taste and see, academic. Taste and see, skeptic. Taste and see, young lady. Taste and see, older person. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In New York City, we do this up front. There are places you can go and hear this message and they ask people to bow your heads and close your eyes as if it's a shameful thing to give your life to God. I think it's a shameful thing to live without God when you know the truth. Yes. New York City, I thank God that people are different. You're an upfront society and I deeply appreciate that. We give our lives to Christ with our eyes open, our heads up and our hands high. And we do it publicly. I want to ask you tonight, young man, young woman, anybody who's here this evening, that you've heard these words and something in your heart is saying, this is true, and I want tonight to give my life to Jesus Christ. Would you join me and just raise your hand wherever you are? God bless you. Just raise your hand unashamedly. Praise God. God bless you. Now, for those who raise their hands, I'm going to ask you to do something. Now, I'm going to ask you to get out of your seat in a moment and come to the front of this auditorium and join here with me, and I'm going to pray with you. That's all I'm going to do. I'm just going to pray with you. Now, you may have brought a friend with you tonight, and maybe your friend's afraid to do this. Feel free, or maybe the person's not a friend and should be. You can even turn to the person beside you and say, look, if you want to go, I'll go with you. We're talking about heaven here tonight. We're talking about forgiveness. We're talking about coming back into right relationship with God. You've heard about the miracles tonight, but now it's time to experience it for yourself. We're going to stand now. We're going to worship for 5 minutes or so. And as we do in the balcony, you go to either exit, Education Annex, make your way over here, Main Sanctuary. You want to receive Jesus as your Savior. I'm going to ask you to get out of your seat unashamedly, and do it quickly, and come down to the front. Let's stand, please, all together. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Just slip out wherever you are. Unashamedly, join these that are coming. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Move in. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Is that your little girl? She's going to have a new daddy tonight. She's going to have a brand new daddy tonight. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Praise God. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Welcome to you. God bless you. Welcome to you. Praise God. God bless you. What a pleasure. What a pleasure. God bless you. Awesome to see you tonight. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'll come over there. Glory to God. You've made my night. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You don't quit now. You don't quit. You don't look like a quitter. God bless you. Praise God. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you. God bless you. I just want to give one more opportunity. Folks, do me a favor that are still in the sanctuary. Turn to the person on your left and right now. Just say, if you want to go down, I'll go with you. It's that simple. If you want to receive Christ, and just I'll go with you. Listen, they're already coming. Here's more folks coming here now. Praise God. There's another young lady. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. Here they come over here. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. We'll wait for you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Just keep coming. Just keep coming. Just keep coming. Here's another young man over here. Just keep coming. Just keep coming. Thank God. Just keep coming. Here's another man. Just keep coming. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Just keep coming, folks. Just keep coming. Heaven's door is open tonight. Jesus is here to save you. Just keep coming. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's sing it again. Freedom reigns. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. This is the night that you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. You'll never be the same again. First and foremost, you'll be clean. The Bible says that The blood that was shed, Jesus Christ's life, washes away sin. The guilt, the stain, the depravity, the captivity of doing wrong is washed away. And there's no record. You might have a record on the earth, but you'll have no record in heaven. It's washed away. God says through the prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament, I will cause myself to forget. So when you get to heaven, let's say you've done some real bad things and you stood before the throne of God to tell him, he'll you know what he'll say to you? I'll have to take your word for it. Because I don't remember any of it. I have no record of it up here. He'll look at you and he'll see beauty. He'll see the cleanness that Jesus bought for you when he died for you. And God promises to come and take you by his own strength and make you into a new person. It's a supernatural thing. He doesn't tell you to start doing a whole bunch of things and not doing others. He supernaturally changes you, changes your heart, your mind. He changes you from the inside out. That's how you know it's real. Because it's not you trying to do something. It's God doing it inside of you. That makes it so amazing. As strange as it seems tonight, the Bible says that the angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner that turns from their sin and turns to God through Jesus Christ. And you're going to cause a party in heaven tonight around the throne of God. Let's pray together. Pray with me, please, everyone at this altar. Pray these simple words and make it your own prayer. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I have done wrong. And I'm sorry for my wrong. I don't want to live this way. Apart from God. And in rebellion to God. Any longer. I want to be the person that God made me to be. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on a cross and destroying the power of death and the power of sin over my life. Thank you for receiving me tonight as your own child, not just for time, but for all of eternity. Thank you for the promise that you will make my life anew, and you will change me, and you will put a new song in me, and a new heart, and new hope, and that I will be everything that I was created to be. Thank you for giving me the power not to turn away from you, but to turn towards you, and to learn of you, and to walk with you, and to speak about you. Thank you that one day you're coming for me and you're going to take me home and I'm going to live with you forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's give God a shout of glory in this house tonight. Glory to God. Glory, glory, glory. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray for these that have come to this altar tonight. God Almighty, seal this work by the power of your Holy Spirit. Don't let the devil steal this from these that have turned to God tonight. Lord, we claim them for the kingdom of God. Every last one of them at this altar, we ask you to surround them, O God, and don't let the enemy come near them. to rob this truth from their minds. I pray, oh God, that these men and women and children know what it is to walk with you. They would understand what it means to know truth and to know that God loves them. Father, give them a song that cannot be denied. Lord, we thank you for this tonight, and I praise you with all my heart. Oh, Jesus, 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 keep them. It's the cry of my heart, Lord. Don't let them be lost. Father, I thank you for this. I pray, God, that they find a church to fellowship. And I pray, Lord, they find a place to study. I pray, God, that they find other believers in Christ that can encourage them. Lord God, don't let anybody be alone that's here. Lord, we thank you for this, and I praise you for it with all my heart tonight in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father.